This is Brother Julius Adewumi, and I'm going to do a series of recording. I hope I will be able to do some and see how it works here. I'm going to go through the book of Genesis. And we know that's a long book and it's full of excitement. But in the first chapter of Genesis is where I'm going to start. And in the book of Genesis chapter 1, I normally say it is actually like a content page. When you see how it was recorded, God that created all things is the first and the last. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first and the last. The first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, it has to be the Lord that gave it to Moses. Because who was there when the creation was made? Even if it was passed down from generation to generation, it will be distorted. But God gave it to Moses. That was how he was able to write Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the history, all through to Abraham and so on and so forth. Because these people are not keeping records or recordings of these stories. Maybe from Abraham, you may say they passed it down through Jacob to know that this is what my grandfather said he did and so on. But before that, only by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that Moses wrote it, got it from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And of course, you have to remember that God actually led Moses in his life to living in Egypt as a supposed son of Pharaoh's daughter. So that gave him opportunity to learn reading and writing. And then when he fled to the wilderness, he was living with a Midianite. His father-in-law, Jethro of Midian, was a priest. So you also know the priests, they have some, whatever they are worshipping. They have some of those tales that were told them, whether from the spirit or from men passed down, or they make it up. So that also, he will be exposed to that. That this is how they say the creation, this is how they say, and by the time God now called Moses, God will have to straighten him up to know the truth. And those that are just made up by men that are false. But when you look at the stories of the creation, go to many of these false religions, they also have stories that the Bible does not corroborate some of those their stories, but they all seem to be patterned around what was said in the Bible. You could go to Hindus, they have their own folklore. Go to some idol worshippers in Africa, they have done folklore. They may even say one spirit came down and became a monster and they started worshipping him, but they all claim to be coming from the other side, from another world. So there are so many folklore like that we call it folklore, that seems similar to what we can say was also in the scriptures. But when Moses was writing this one down, God has inspired him, so we can rely on the Bible. So that's why I'm going to say Genesis, the book of Genesis, is the beginning, and when it comes to the beginning, only God was there in the beginning. So only God can tell us really what happened. So God told Moses and he wrote it down. Let's see chapter 1 now. I see chapter 1 look like content. When you say, first day I do this, first, second day I do this, first, third day I do this. But they're actually symbolic of what God will do. And in the end, he said, on the seventh day, the Lord rested. And that's also symbolic. Prophetic is the right word. Prophetic of what God is actually planning for humankind on this planet Earth. On the seventh day, when he rested, what shall he prophesy of the 7,000th year of humanity on earth? And that is the day of rest. That the Bible says, when we look at Genesis to Revelation, now we can compare and say, the seventh day actually talking about the millennial reign of Christ on earth, which we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And there will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, where Satan will be locked up during that 1,000 years, so that he does not deceive the nations anymore, and there will be peace on earth. And that is the rest of God. When there is peace, no more crying unto God for screaming unto God, help, help, help. God said he also will rest. Also, that was the seventh day. Now, when you see that, because the Bible says a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day, that's how we now see from the revelation of the word of God, that those 6 days that was written in the book of Genesis chapter 1 was was prophesying of 6,000 years of mankind that God is going to deal with man. And I have a book written when after I passed a long fast, where not a book, some messages that are in some magazine form, where I describe each 1,000 years what was typical of the planet Earth. And for the first 1,000 years, second 1,000 years, third and fourth and fifth and sixth, and then the seventh is the rest. And you see them symbolized or prophetically symbolized here in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. When God said, let there be light, and that's all he said on that first day. You just think about that. If God just came up and said, let there be light. And let's see, from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the first verse of chapter, book of Genesis, verse 1 and 2, make us to see that this planet was not created. This planet had, where we are standing, was not created 6,000 years ago. This planet had been there, just like Mars and Jupiter, they have been there for, you know, billions of years. Then somehow, the project of creating man on this earth was started 6,000 years ago. That's what history told us. But before that 6,000 years, there was, this planet was, according to the verse 1, say it was void. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now then, when you come back to see what the Lord said to the men that he created in the sixth day, he said, replenish the earth, which means to refill it. And he said, fill the earth. See, that shows that something was there before that was removed, eradicated. I'm jumping up and I'm going to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God told them and said, God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Replenish means something was there before that was replenished, removed, destroyed. And then replenish means refill it. So that shows that many Bible scholars have pointed out to verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that when it said the earth was without form and void, that shows that between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, between verse 1 and verse 2, there was a catastrophe that happened to this planet Earth. So many believe that maybe during the time that Satan was casted down to this planet Earth, that destroyed whatever was on this planet Earth, but they were not human beings. They have to be animals, but they are created, but they were destroyed. He said that's why the scientists, when they begin to dig the ground, they are seeing some bones of what they call dinosaurs that seem to be buried under the ice. They say these dinosaurs the bones were there for thousands of years ago. Sometimes they think some of them are even more than 6,000 years old. So that means that before the 6,000 year of mankind, there was something on this planet Earth that was destroyed. And many Bible verses pointed that out. And then after it was destroyed, according to the scriptures, the Bible said, destroyed by snow. God wiped them out by freezing everything. That's why he said, by the time the Spirit of God begins to move upon the face of the waters, when you begin to melt ice with water all over the earth. And then God begins to melt the ice so we see water. And that's why the Bible said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, you see that? All that the Lord said he did on the first day was just say, let there be light, separating light from the darkness. So you can see that was a summary. You can see that like a summary, or prophetic, of what was talking about in the first 1,000 years. That's why he said, that's all for one day. So if you are thinking of it as if it's just a 24-hour day, now you are wrong. When you say, you just let there be light, and then separate the light from darkness, anybody can, that is going to just say that, you can say it in 1 minute. Not so. So it's not, he say this is a prophetic book, coded, that God now begins to reveal to us, it was actually prophesying of what will be happening in the first 1,000 years. And when you now go back to the history, you say, what happened in the first 1,000 years of mankind on this planet Earth? That was when Cain and Abel were separated from Cain and the land of Cain and the children of Adam through Seth, because Cain killed Abel. So the Seth, and then there was separation. Cain went away, instead of to the east, and we say, where do these guys were? But they never mentioned the women, but you see, when you say Adam has men, he said he has male and female. So when did he have male and female? Not after Cain became an adult. So they all were giving birth, and male and female. So most of them have already, these were already married. Or Cain was already married. So that's why Cain took his wife and they went. So you cannot think of it as if this what we say is more like summary. Somebody said, King just got his wife and left when God caused the land because of Cain after he killed Abel. You see, but now after the wife, they say Adam has another son, Seth, and then the line of Seth is the light. They're still keeping the light. The line of Cain was multiplying, but they are the darkness. So that's another way of describing this separating of the light from the darkness. God did that. But it's also symbolizing of many other things. I'm just giving you the typical thing that happened in the first 1,000 years is the separation of the Adamic seed from the Cain seed. But after some time, they mix up again because they are populated the earth. But you see, think of it this way. These people have no way of traveling. When Cain ran away from the presence of the garden of the area, how far can he go? Maybe 100 miles will be like a far away from Adam and Eve and wherever they live. But what's 100 miles? 100 miles, to me here in our generation, is somewhere you can drive a car and get there in a few minutes. But people that are walking and running, it's like days and months, they can get 100 miles, if not years. But after a while, they will soon populate, if they are multiplying and multiplying and multiplying within how many years. They will be coming back to work together to mix up. That's what I'm trying to say. Because it's a place, it's a small place they have separated from. Even the whole of Canaan land, when you look at Canaan, when the Bible said, Abraham, I'm giving Abraham, I'm not getting there yet. Abraham, when after he has some other sons, he sent them away from Isaac. You see, these people, how far can they go from Isaac? I don't think they can go away from Canaan all the way to China. No. Maybe 100 miles to them is far away from Isaac. You see? But what is 100 miles? Even within the map, right? You can look at 100 miles in the map. And you say it's still close by to Jerusalem. 100 miles from Jerusalem, which maybe Tel Aviv. Is that far away? But Abraham said, all of you go to the east so that you don't come and be in trouble when you're too close to Isaac. See, but what I'm saying is that it's a short distance. They can walk and run. Even if they're riding a donkey, a donkey is just like a woman is walking. So what I'm trying to say then is that the distance for those who don't have a jet plane or cars or vehicles to drive, distance they say they've gone away from Isaac is still going to be short compared in our own generation, in our mind. The short distance, they move away. From 50 miles, they think they have gone far away from these people. But you see, with time, they will mix up again. That's what I'm pointing out, that when Cain separated, how far will he go? It is walking. And God separated them from the line of Adam's son. But with time, and after 100 years, multiplying, they will mix up again. So that's what you see. Now go to verse 6 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, that is what was reported that happened in the second day. God separated the firmament, it separated the waters so that we have clouds. It's water at the end of the cloud from the one on the ground. And that was second day, that's what it did in the second day. So now that's like in the second 1,000 years, what could be the major event? The major event was the flood. The flood. And God has to now cover the earth with the flood again and then bring them back again. The second 1,000 years is when the flood took place. And this is a summary of that there will be a separation of water baptism for the earth. Verse 9 said, and God said, let the waters, that's third day now, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called it seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So the third day God created the dry ground and told, and also the herbs to begin, the grasses to begin to grow. So when you are planting something, you want to provide the food before you bring the things that are going to eat the food. So God created the herbs and the fruits and the trees first. After the dry ground appeared, that was the first thing he created on the third day. Because now it's going to bring in whoever is going to be eating all these plants. Verse 14. And then you look at that on the third day, what is it symbolizing? The fruits, the vegetables, and everything that was planted. He said, dry land appeared on the third day, and the gathering of the waters is called the seas. And that is the beginning of the sea, symbolizing world, human beings, different population. So they say the sea, go to the sea and cast the hook. They are talking of the populations, the separation of the languages, multitudes, ethnicity. So that's also what happened on the third day in the 3,000 years. That's when he scattered them in the Tower of Babel. It was on the third day. And that's where you form the different languages. Now, verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and for so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now notice that on that fourth day was the light in the firmament, the sun and the moon created according to this rendering. Now the sun actually always represented the Christ. The moon representing the church. On the fourth day is the 4,000th year. That's when actually Christ manifested on earth. And the church started after Christ manifested. So it is the symbolism of prophetic of what God is going to do. He's going to bring out the light. And the Bible says, actually, this is the light that lighted the whole man Maris from the beginning. It was the light that, you see, this is the light that lighted every man that came into the world. But you see, when God said in the beginning, let there be light at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, or verse 3, God brought that light that is separate from the sun and the moon. But you see, God himself is the light. So when he created the sun, the moon, it looked like the sun is now in the light for this world, and the moon is light for the dark, for the night time. But the light has been all along. That's what I'm saying. The light has been all along. It just manifested into sun in the fourth day, which represented Christ, who is the light from the beginning, now show forth upon the earth. And started the church. And the church is the moon, symbolized by the moon, that are reflecting the light of Christ on earth. And we are to say the church is this light, and the stars also representing the former prophets all along before the Messiah comes. There are prophets all over that are talking about this thing is coming. They are like the stars. He said they are separating the day from the night. They are separating light from darkness. And that is the work of the body of Christ. The church is to separate light from darkness. They rule over the day and over the night to divide the light from the darkness. And that's what the church is supposed to be, by dividing the light from the darkness. And that was the fourth day. Now on the 20, verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas. Let fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning while they feed them. Now, the creation of birds and fowl from the sea symbolizes how evil spirits, their spirits, evil spirits, suddenly begin to populate the earth and form on their own form of religion. You have to say that the fowls of the air landed upon the branches of the body of the tree that Christ planted. So those flowers represented false doctrines, and they are, God allowed them. God allowed them so that they populate the house also. Those are the fowls of the air that bringing false doctrine to the midst of believers. And Christ said, let them go to God until the harvest. Verse 24. And God said, let the heart bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, let me talk about that cattle first, because you'll see, notice that God always mentioned cattle. So cattle has a special place in the creation that God created on the earth. What does cattle symbolize? It's simple. What is cattle? Those are the cows, the donkeys, the goats, and the sheep that human beings need. And that is the first thing that human beings depend upon. The camels for traveling, donkeys and horses, they are all classified as cattle. They are the animals that look like farm animals that help mankind, that mankind begin to use. And actually, in the fifth thousand year, that is the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. What is Industrial Revolution? When human beings begin to discover how to make cars, because those are like farm animals for us. We begin to depend on all those technology. That's the beginning of technology. That's what the symbol is, the symbolism of cattle. God said cattle. That is the symbol representing human help. All the farm animals are human help. And that is when human beings begin to discover how to make vehicles, locomotives, bicycles, cars, airplanes. That started that during the Industrial Revolution and in the 5,000 year millennium of mankind. That's when that discovery began to come up. Before God created in the sixth day, verse 26. In verse 26, God is going to create man, and the man is going to create is the sons of God. Now let's see. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, in the image of God created he, male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now remember verse 27 says, male and female created them. So God was not talking about Adam in this chapter 1. No. He was talking about in the 6,000th year, God was going to bring forth the sons of God out of the believers. The sons of God are the people that he's talking about, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it. Now he said replenish the earth, which means even the sons of God, when the world will have been destroyed again by nuclear war, God will allow human beings that escape to replenish the earth again. And say, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So the sixth day was when God created man and put man in charge of all that he has created. So that man is actually representing the 6,000 years, the sons of God. That you overcome, the dragon, and that you rule upon this planet. That you can. There are many Bible appointed, alluded to this. In the book of Revelation, Christ is the head of these sons of God, and that is the church. And that Bible says God has raised us up together with Christ and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. So God is making man in his own image, that is the sons of God in his own image and in his own likeness, not just because we have the structure of God, but that we behave like him. That's why he said you have to come to the perfection, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Those are the sons of God indeed. And that is what our goal as Christians are. See, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. And we pray that the Lord will bring us there, and He's going to bring us there. But those that are shooting for that, purify yourself, for it's coming soon. And say it's pure. God bless you. I'm going to continue this next broadcast. Amen. God bless you.